right, folks, welcome back to the Game Trail Podcast. I've got a special guest. You guys know him, you love him, Chris Neville, my buddy. we recently just got back from the Vegas shoot. I got back sooner than Chris did. I know Chris drove through the night. I think he hit bright and early, so we gave him a full day yesterday to kind of recoup, but I think he got home yesterday morning super early. But I wanted to have Chris on. I wanted to talk to Neville. I'm going to call him Neville because that's what I've always called him. It was a little weird. I sat by your wife the last day that you shot, and I kept being like, oh, Neville this and Neville that. And then I thought for a minute, I'm like, it's probably pretty odd that she hears me refer to you as Neville because she probably calls you Chris.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm used to calling you Neville. So I'm going to refer to you as Neville because that's always I've ever really known you as. But yeah, I got Neville on the podcast today. We're going to recap, kind of talk about this Las Vegas indoor archery shoot we just did last week. I wanted to kind of cover and dive into that. It was definitely an interesting experience. Way more interesting than I would have thought, a lot harder than I would have thought. I'm going to call it a type two fun. It was not purely fun, at least for me anyway. Anyway, we'll dive into that. I want to do a recap and just kind of talk about what we learned. But before we get going, I'm going to hit you guys with a promo code. You guys can use the promo code Game Trail. That's GAMETRAIL. You can sign up for a Go Hunt Insider account. And if you do that, you're going to get $50 back to the Go Hunt gear shop that you can use towards the purchase of any gear that you want in the shop, including archery equipment. I noticed the other day we're starting to get a lot more stuff in stock. Got some new sights in stock, new arrows. We're starting to get replenished with some archery gear, which is good timing because the weather's starting to warm up. And hopefully you guys are getting out and shooting your bow and getting prepped for the upcoming season. And, you know, you can also use your insider account to help you navigate the draws. I'll be busy the rest of the week writing application strategy articles for Utah. And you guys can dive into those and hopefully help you draw some tags. Also, shout out to Matthews Archery as a sponsor of the podcast. I know that Neville and I both shoot Matthews bows, and I got nothing but love and good things to say about those guys over at Matthews. So shout out to Matthews as a sponsor of the podcast. So with that, we'll just jump in. We're going to dive in, and I want to find out what your experience was like and compared to mine.
I had fun. I did enjoy it. Yeah. I think it's kind of a new challenge, you know, mm-hmm. something you're kind of unfamiliar with. I don't know. It kind of gave you purpose for like leading up to it, like setting up your bow, shooting a lot more arrows, shooting at target archery, something a little bit different. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of gave me purpose in like really thinking more deeply about my archer setup, my form, my practice, what I'm doing to get better. Mm-hmm. So like on that side of things, I thought it was really fun. Then the competition, I've always been a pretty competitive guy, so I kind of like the competition. I mean, it is definitely like stressful leading up to it. I remember I was talking to you after that last, and it reminds me of when I was in high school, like before a sporting event, you kind of have like a knot in your stomach, just kind of like nervous. Like I wake up in the morning and just like kind of a knot in my stomach before we're going to shoot.
Yeah.
But other than that, I enjoyed it. And I thought it was a good time. I mean, I think I'll probably do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'll probably do it again too. I didn't necessarily feel that way immediately after. Drive home was a different experience. I got to process and think a lot about it. I did a lot of thinking about it yesterday. And I'll definitely do it again. I think for me, one, I just love archery. Like I like archery. I'm just infatuated by it. I think it's a really interesting endeavor. I love shooting my bow. Two, I wanted to feel uncomfortable, and I wanted to put myself into an experience that I thought would challenge me and make me feel uncomfortable based on what I've always done, or at least I've done for probably the last 15 years or so. And I would say it pretty wildly exceeded my expectations in that regard. Like I felt really uncomfortable. I think I told you this. I think I've felt more uncomfortable, more stress, more anxiety on pretty much every arrow that I shot this weekend than I have felt on almost every animal I've killed in probably the last 15, 20 years.
I know. Thinking back on just like my hunting experience, I mean, you usually don't feel that until hunting season starts, until you're like at full draw on an animal. Like I haven't felt that feeling until last hunting season. You know what I mean? So it's kind of weird, like doing this tournament and doing, you know, shooting the Vegas, you actually get that feeling again of like shaking, nervous, anxiety, which is, it's hard to like replicate that when you're practicing or just by yourself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was definitely that type of feeling that you can get when you're at full draw on an animal. You're anxious, you're nervous, you might not be thinking, you're speeding things up,
yeah.
Might be doing shit you shouldn't be doing, but
I feel more comfortable on an animal.
Yeah.
And I mean, we can dive into it, but I feel more at ease shooting at an animal, which is weird. Given the fact that the consequences are a whole lot greater when you're shooting an animal than you are shooting at a paper target at 20 yards. That was kind of a strange anomaly that I didn't think that I would have. I find it way, way easier to concentrate and focus shooting at an animal than I do in that environment. And I think that's because you're alone in the woods, you're kind of matching wits with an animal. And it's just, I think it's the nature of hunting. It requires you to be more focused and there's just less distraction, I think. You're like really picking apart every single movement of the animal. You're picking your shot. You're watching the behavior of the animal. You're like really focused on making that thing happen. I find it far easier to shoot an animal. I'm just far more focused on an animal than I am, any arrow, of the weekend. But,
yeah. And it's really strange too, because there's nothing to be nervous about when you're shooting. No.
No consequences at all.
You're on this line with 100 some other people, and like nobody's, it's not like it's an intense shoot off where it's like 1v1, lights are off, like everyone's looking at, nobody's looking at you, nobody cares what you do.
Yeah, no real money on it.
it's all just like pressure that you're putting on yourself.
Yeah, expect
like over. Yeah,
expectations of yourself, right?
Yeah,
yeah, I agree. Just
wanting to shoot good and putting more pressure on yourself than you need. I think that's why it's probably like easier for us going out like hunting and shooting at animals. I guess I'm probably not putting as much pressure on myself, like thinking about like I need to get an X or a 10 on this shot right now.
Yeah, I also think there's more familiarity with me at this point shooting at an animal than there is shooting in that environment. Having never done it, I thought a lot about that on the way home. I think the more that you do it, the more that you did it, you go to an indoor shoot or 3D shoot or one of these like rodeo arena 3D shoots, I think the more familiar you become with the feelings that you're going to have, you have more reasonable expectations. You have a much better understanding of what the process is like and the timing and, you know, all the little things that you kind of picked up and learned. I think you become more familiar with that, just like you would be with an animal that I've done a bunch of times. And I think the more familiar you become with something, probably the more able you are to manage your anxiety, your nerves, you kind of understand the whole gig. But
yeah, I mean, I was even nervous about like check-in, where am I going to practice? How early do I need to get there? Like
completely.
Like even before I even started shooting, you have like this anxiety about, you know, similar to what you're saying, like an experience you're not used to.
I talked to a guy in the elevator and he he was like, man, I'm having trouble breathing. He's like, I feel like I can't get a full breath. And then he started talking. He's like, I don't know. Do they pump air into these casinos? He's like, I feel like the air is like really dense. He's like, I feel like I'm not breathing as normal as I possibly should. And whether that's like a complete placebo or whatever, or just like the scents, the smells, you know, and the, like the sensations, the sounds that are going on around you. Like we can dive into all of it here in a sec, but yeah, it was just like a completely new experience. And I agree. It was, it added this like level of anxiety that I certainly didn't anticipate, but
yeah.
I wanted to probably talk. So for kind of go back, I guess for those of you that might not be familiar with indoor archery. So this was an indoor archery shoot. It's kind of the Super Bowl of archery is what they call it. They have it once a year in Las Vegas. It's normally in February. This year it was in March. So what it is it's a Vegas face. So it's a 3-spot face. I looked yesterday, the 10 ring is about the size of a ping pong ball. and you shoot at 20 yards and you shoot 10 ends of 3 arrows. So 30 arrows per day. So you're going to shoot Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which is what we did. And basically you're going to keep score. So 10 being the maximum score, and then all the way out to, you know, a 6 or 0, which I can talk about here in a minute, but, so that's kind of the game. And then, you shoot the first 2 days, and then they group you in a flight. We bull shot bow hunter flights, and they group you in a flight for the third day. And you're kind of competing inside that group that's been flighted from your previous scores of the first 2 days. And then, they kind of rank you based on how you shoot that third day. And then they pay out, I think, like the top 5 spots. But that's kind of the format. I was going to ask you, I've always wanted to shoot this. I've never shot it. I started talking about it, I think probably back in December, I want to say, kind of putting it on the radar, something I wanted to do. I've been down to Vegas probably 3 or 4 times to like watch the final shoot off the Championship Unlimited, which is a really fun event to go to if you've never been. But I've always kind of wanted to do it. And then this year was kind of the first year, but have you wanted to shoot this before? Do you remember like when you made the decision to go do this?
I think to actually go do this one this year, I think it's probably like talking to you on the phone. You're like, I think I'm going to do Vegas. And you're like, you should do it too. And I'm like, all right, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Like my interest, like getting into it, you know, shooting, I've shot Vegas faces before, you know, just every once in a while at home, keeping score. It's kind of fun to have like kind of a competition added to your practice. Which I probably hadn't shot a Vegas face. Probably the first time I ever did that was like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was when we did that YouTube video.
Yeah, me and you.
Yeah, in the warehouse doing like different things, shooting Vegas faces.
Yeah, we shot from our knees. We did like a minute long hold. We did kind of a novelty shoot, didn't we?
Right. And that was probably like my very first time ever shooting at a Vegas face. And ever since then, I've always enjoyed it. I think it's like it's different. Different type of practice, different things go into it. And I always thought it was fun, like keeping score and like seeing yourself get better, get worse, whatever it may be. But
yeah. How did you approach setting up your bow for this versus like what you go bow hunting with?
I actually did a lot of more different things from just like researching like stuff that you were sending me. I did a lot of things that like Paige Pierce has been doing to her bow and how she sets up her bow. So like being able to learn different approaches, I think we've always set up our bow like the exact same way.
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot more ways to setting up your bow. So I actually set this up, my bow that I shot for this, which is my hunting bow. It's a Phase 4 33. I set it up a lot different than how I would my hunting bow. So I completely took off everything. You know, and I did started with my D loop, move my D loop up and down to find what holds the best, and then kind of went from there, putting on my sight.
What did you shoot for a sight?
It would be different. So my sight's definitely the sight housing's a lot smaller.
Mm-hmm.
It's a single pin. I usually shoot like a 5-pin or a 3-pin. I still have the XL landslide body, but the scope is the main thing that I changed around. Just so I could do a smaller peep, which is different than my hunting setup. So I did a 1/8 peep, and then a 35mm size scope, which is pretty big even for target archery. Like a lot of guys are usually shooting
28.
Shooting smaller than that. But and then adding a sight light on there, definitely need a sight light. Came to find out, it's hard to see your pins on.
It's really hard
on a target face. So kind of messing around with your scope size, your peep size, your pin size, what color pin.
What color pin did you go with?
I ended up landing on blue.
Did you try another color?
I started with green.
Okay.
At first with no sight light, I couldn't see that at all on a Vegas face. Especially it's like indoor shooting is a lot different than outdoor shooting too. So like I shoot outdoors and I was able to see it pretty well, but if I went and shot league indoor lighting, couldn't see it at all. So I decided to switch it to blue just because there's more contrast between like a yellow on a Vegas face and blue. And that I could see really good on a Vegas face.
Right.
So just playing around with different things. That's kind of more towards target archery. then hunting, and then just like setting up my bow, you know, doing a couple different things for it to hold better, for it to shoot better. And then the very last thing I did was shoot it through paper. Like I didn't shoot my bow through paper the week before I left. Like it wasn't a thing I was necessarily like concerned about. I mean, things were hitting where I was aiming, but yeah, I know, just kind of taking, and this is all stuff that, you know, that I saw in videos from like Paige Pierce and how she sets up her bow and different things she does. Cause like her big thing is she's trying to get her bow to hold the best so that her bad shots are still good shots.
Yeah. More forgiving.
Right.
Did you, what'd you shoot for poundage? Did you just max your limbs out? Were you shooting 70 pounds?
70 pounds.
Okay. Yeah. And then what'd you shoot for stabilizer weights and legs?
So since we're doing the bow hunter flights, where the maximum front bar is 12 inches. So you can't go any lot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
12 inches. Can't go any longer than 12 on the front. And I think I had 9 ounces up front. I think I had like 9 or 8 out back. And I had a 10 inch in front and a 12 inch out the back for stabilizers.
Screwed straight into your riser. Did you use a quick disconnect?
Yeah. Screwed straight into the riser.
Gotcha.
And yeah, and I don't know, the balance of the bow wasn't my favorite. I definitely was messing around because I'm, you know, for my hunting setup, I usually shoot a 15 and 12, mm-hmm. which definitely feels better.
Yeah. I put my 15 on immediately as soon as I got home, like literally yesterday morning, I pulled the 10 inch off the front and the weight and immediately put the 15 back out front with 4 ounces.
Yeah.
And it's funny that I guess my total stabilizer length would have been like 10 and a half inches maybe, but like just going from 10 and a half to 15 was like a major difference.
Yeah. It definitely took some time, like getting used to and like adjusting my stabilizers to get to where it kind of felt right.
Yeah.
But what did you do for your stabilizers? Did you mess around with it a lot?
Well, so yeah, I mean, we'll get into like how it went for me. So I had a Title 38. I shot it at home quite a bit in my kitchen, which was like 19 and a half yards in my kitchen. And it was too cold really to get outside. We don't really have a spot indoor to shoot here in Cedar. So I set that up and shot it. So stabilizers, I was shooting a 10 inch Ramrods stabilizer, just screwed straight into the riser. And I think I had 7 ounces up front. And then I went back and forth between a 12 inch bar and a 15 inch bar out the back and played with some different things. And I ultimately ended up using the 15, and I think I had 11 ounces on the back. And that bow is 65 pounds. I tried a 65 pound 75% let off and didn't really love it. I like the way that it held. I just didn't really like the draw that much. And I don't know. I ended up going back to 80% let off, which thinking about it now might've been a mistake. I don't know. I've learned a lot. Like I've had so many thoughts based on the weekend, but I ended up with 80% let off, 65 pounds, and I was shooting really good at home. You know, for my standards anyway, I was pretty close to averaging right around a 288 to maybe like 290s, like low 290s. That's kind of what I ended up. I mean, sight wise, I agree with you. Like my green, I ended up with a green pen. So I used a green single pen with a sight light on it. And at home, I felt like I could see it pretty good. And by about the first practice end that we took down there, like my green pin on a yellow target was pretty well washed out a ton. Like I couldn't really see it that well. So I had to turn the light on it way up. And that was kind of like starbursting out. It was, you know, glowing super, super bad for me. So I had a really hard time putting a green pin on a yellow surface. So I think that's probably be the first thing that I would change, is I would put a red pin or a blue pin in it, just so that I could get some contrast between the yellow and that green pin. So, a lot of equipment things I've thought about already. And like, I already tore my bow apart since I got home and started tinkering with it. Things like draw length. I don't think my draw length was great.
Do you think you'd go with a smaller peep and smaller house or scope sizing on your sight?
Yeah, so I bought one of these Shrewd Optum scopes, and it had the one that I have on the target bow that I shot the first day. I ended up shooting my hunting bow the second 2 days. But the first day, it has like the reducer ring sunshade on the front. So it would have taken it from a 35 millimeter down to a 28 to that ring. And I feel like that 28 was about right. I think I would go with a smaller. And then peep size, I ended up going down in peep. So I think I was like a 364 or something like that. Or yeah, 364, so I think is kind of where I landed. But I went up to my local pro shop here in town and I bought different peep sizes, and I tried probably three different peep sizes and kind of settled on one that was just slightly smaller than an eighth, I think. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, yeah, a lot of equipment changes I would make for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that was the one thing. I have some like notes on things that I wish I would have like
done differently,
but yeah. Setup. I mean, my setup, I think, it's definitely good enough to shoot good scores. I mean, there's nothing like, it's like a terrible setup, but I think there are some things. I mean, I wasn't necessarily like super ahead of the eight ball. Like, I feel like I waited a little too long to like start changing things. Like, I'm a month out, like, oh, I'm still shooting my hunting bow. Just like, I'll get this here and there. And like,
yeah,
I would have done it a little more early on, so I had more time to like play around with different peep size, play around with a different scope size, just kind of like tinker a little bit more.
I did things status quo for me, so I got the thing set up, felt like things were good to go, other than, you know, I did get a new dozen arrows maybe a week ago, and I actually never did paper tune those. Like, I never shot them through paper. I bought some Easton X27s, set them up, got them fletched, cut and everything, shot them in my house and sighted them in, and they were shooting pretty good, shot middle. And I thought, you know, I mean, if I end up paper tuning and I end up having to make some adjustments to like limb shift or move my rest or something, you know, that's probably more headache and stress than I'm willing to put up with at this point in the game. And I thought, you know, it probably doesn't really matter a ton that it's not like a super clean hole. I figured it was pretty close because they were close to the other arrows that I was shooting. So I figured, I'm just going to run with it. So I actually never did paper tune mine. I was curious as to like, I might take them out and shoot them through paper just to see, but I know. Yeah. See if I have a nasty tear. But here's the thing is like, when I did my part, like when I, you know, I went through a whole shot and let it sit and the shot broke, like it hit middle. So it's not necessarily like a paper tune issue or a bow tune, you know, maybe it could have been a smidge more forgiving, but reality was, is like when I did my part, it hit where it was supposed to. So like, I can't blame a tune or anything like that. You know, it was basically all on me. All my misses were mine.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wish I would have had like just not waiting till the last second to do stuff.
Yeah.
Just, and that's get my setup exactly where I want it, and then like just shoot that for mm-hmm. like a couple like months, just like at Vegas Faces, instead of kind of dilly dallying around, doing this, doing that. Maybe I'll get some, I'm going to get some big arrows now. Just get my setup dialed where I want it, and then just shoot it as much as possible.
For sure. Yeah. Would have helped immensely, I think, for me.
Yeah. Even just like practicing more. Like,
yeah,
I practiced a decent amount, but still, I think I could have shot Vegas Faces more and just practiced more indoor mm-hmm. lighting, did that kind of stuff. But
yeah, I practiced a lot. I shot a lot of games in reality. Like, I really did. I was pretty dedicated to shooting a couple games every morning at least. I can only think of like the 1 week where I was at Hunt Expo that I didn't shoot arrows. I didn't get a chance to shoot arrows. I shot a few, but not at all, like maybe 10. I did take my bow up with me to Salt Lake. I did get a target the last day. I did shoot maybe 10 or 15 arrows just there in the Airbnb that we rented. But for the most part, I missed like the better part of a week there. And then I got the flu, and it was really interesting. So like, but prior to the Hunt Expo, I was shooting much better than after the Hunt Expo and having the flu for a week after. Like, I coming off the flu, like I felt weak. I just didn't feel good. And I never did really ever recoup and get back to like where I was kind of hitting before. And I was shooting a lot before the Expo, and then much less in regards to practice. I mean, you bring up practice. So I did shoot a lot, but what I didn't do is like, I didn't shoot leagues, because I don't really have one right around here. I didn't shoot mm-hmm. with anybody else. I would say 99% of the games that I shot in my house, in my kitchen, you know, into my garage. I really don't think that you can replicate the same feeling of being down there that I don't think you can replicate it just like at home shooting in your basement or wherever.
No. And that was one thing that I would definitely recommend. If anyone plans on shooting the Vegas tournament, go shoot league mm-hmm. as much as possible, because that's going to be the closest thing you're going to get to it. Or if there's some competition, but yeah, because I was fortunate enough down here in Fort Collins, we have a league every Thursday. So I went and shot league every single Thursday, which I remember the very first one I went to.
Mm-hmm.
I think I told you, we're like talking on the phone. I'm like, just all the distractions, sitting yeah. on a line with like 20 some people, arrows flying, and you're close. Like you're right next to someone.
Yeah.
So just all the different distractions of like seeing arrows fly out of the corner of your eyes, different noises, people moving, and just like working on staying focused and shooting the best shot that you can. That was like the first thing I noticed right off the bat when shooting league was like, this is definitely a lot different than shooting at home by yourself with no distractions. Like it's much easier to focus and go through your shot process when you have nothing around you.
Yeah. I remember talking to you, probably it might've been the morning after the first time you shot leagues there. And you told me, yeah, I think you might struggle with like trying to focus, because you told me how distracting it was being on the line. And I remember thinking like, yeah, I don't know, man, it can't be that much different. Like, sure, I'll get some nerves or whatever. But that was the one thing, like my biggest takeaway. One of my biggest takeaways, I got a couple of them, but one of my biggest was like how hard and how much more room I have to improve in regard to just focus, because I found it extremely, extremely hard to focus on the line there in Vegas. It was really, really hard for me. I have not shot with anybody other than like maybe just a couple times, you know, whether it was you and I in the warehouse, you know, the couple days before the actual shoot started, or maybe like Marchery Madness. I think I shot one arrow, but like just shooting with people, around people, the noise, you know, all the different distractions that come with it. That was, I think, the single hardest part for me, was trying to stay focused. And man, I would like catch myself like listening to a conversation that was going on behind me in the line, like at full draw. Like I'd be at full draw in my peep, pin on the target, kind of going through my process, talking to myself like, okay, find anchor. Okay. Pull the click, you know, and then just like stay in it. Here we go. That kind of whole, you know, process. And like, I would catch myself like listening to two guys behind me talking, and I'd be like thinking about what they were talking about, which is definitely not what you want, you know?
I mean, there's so many, like, I remember one guy next to me absolutely sailed one over the target. And like, you can see that out of your corner and you're thinking, like, oh man, that guy just missed that target. And I'm like, I'm like about to shoot my arrow. That's like the thought that pops into my head.
Yeah.
Plus to mention, like a lot of the times you get hit, like people are like kind of knocking into you arrows. Yep. Cause you're so tight on this line. Like yeah. You're right next to two people, sandwiched in between two people. It's like your arrows are hitting them or they're hitting you. Like that happened to me a couple times, like getting bumped when you're in the middle of your shot.
Mm-hmm.
So just like trying to stay focused to be like, all right, bring it back in here.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say there was primarily three things for me. One, the people in front of you and behind you. So the first day I had this, the first and second day, actually, I had this kid. He was brand new, never shot Vegas. He was brand new to archery, I think since December. He had one of these forward facing quivers, and I've had some people send me some really funny memes since I got home about people with forward facing quivers. But yeah, this kid kept like poking me in the butt, or like one time I was at full draw and I felt one of his knocks like go up underneath my shirt into the middle of my back, like the lower part of my back. I could feel this knock like going up my back, which was distracting. One time, in between ends, he was asking me if I wanted to go to lunch after the thing. And like, I just met the guy. I was like, man, I mean, I know you're here trying to do the best, so am I, but yeah, it was just super distracting. The other thing I found really distracting that I didn't think would be the case, I hadn't even really thought about it, to be honest, was the clock. So my first 2 days, the clock was right above my target butt, and I never even came close to like running out of time to get my three arrows, but I would catch myself out of my peripheral vision, like glancing at the clock. Like I might get into my peep and I would like glance out of it and check the clock. And it was just the sheer fact that I could see those numbers like ticking down and thinking like, okay, yeah, I've got one more arrow, or I've got two more arrows to go. And like, those are all things I was thinking about in the moment that have absolutely no place in being an accurate shot.
That is a rough draw, having the clock on your tail.
I definitely
would have looked at the clock. If I had the clock right above my belt, there's no doubt I would have looked at that damn thing.
Yeah, because I could see it counting down. So the whistle blows, and then you've got 10 seconds till the second whistle blows before you can actually, you know, shoot your first arrow. And I would be in my bow, like watching the clock count down, like 10, 9, 8. And then the second whistle blows, you know, you're at full draw. And then from there, you can kind of just see that constantly ticking. And it goes, the light goes from red to green. And it's just, I don't know, it added like this extra intensity, like this extra nerves, like, oh shit, here we go.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
But then, I mean, I say that it was right above my bell, and that's an unlucky draw. But the third day, it was like all the way to the bottom right corner of the room, and like I still caught myself like glancing at it, you know, just to see how much time I had.
Yeah, the whole mental aspect. I think everyone kind of knows you need to be like mentally strong if you want to be the best archers possible. Like it's a lot of mental game.
Yep.
But I think going to that competition and shooting. Like I definitely could work on mental focus, my shot process, like all of that stuff could definitely be a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's usually either a distraction. Like if I think back on like the shot, my worst shots is either a distraction. Like I was thinking something that I shouldn't have been at the very last second. Like, oh, that guy's arrow just went flying by and then I shot. And then you have a bad shot, or there's like a small detail in, you know, usually every time I get into my bow, I'm like, make sure I have my grip in a good spot.
Yeah.
Like a fletching hits my hand. Like these small details that are all like your shot process, your focus, your mental game, making sure everything is good. It's just takes like one small thing out of one of those. And you have a bad shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I mean, it was awesome. It was awesome in the fact that it highlighted what I think are a whole bunch of holes that I've got in my process and my mental capacity. And really, I love archery and I love the game of it. I love shooting my bow, but I wanted to do this so that I feel like when I go into the field in the fall, I'm just that much more competent. I'm like that much more mentally strong. My process is figured out a lot better. Mm-hmm. And I feel like my focus will improve. And I think in that regard, it highlighted all the holes in my game.
Oh yeah.
How did your first day go?
First day might have been my best day.
Really?
I mean, besides my very last three arrows, it was definitely my like shooting, scoring.
Mm-hmm.
Like I felt really good. I was shooting really good. And then I came down to my last three arrows and just absolutely shot a terrible shot. Shot a seven. I don't think I even shot a seven in practice. Like,
yeah.
And it was just a stupid thing. Like I wasn't even like, when I shot that shot, like, I don't think I was even going through any of my process. Like I was just like feeling good. Just like pulling back my bow and shooting like,
mm-hmm.
And just like bad shot.
Were you thinking about your score at that point? Did you know that you had a pretty good game going and you got to your final couple arrows and you were really putting more pressure on yourself?
Yeah. So that was like one thing I also have written down is, take it one arrow at a time. Like, don't look at your score. Because then it was like towards the end of that, I'm like, I know I was shooting good. Like, I've only dropped a couple. And like, this lady was like looking at her phone. I'm like, what are you looking at? And she's like, oh, you can see where you're at right now.
Oh.
Like, they do like, because it's like real time because you have someone on the phone doing your score.
Yeah.
Someone writing it down. So like, there's real time rankings. I'm like, oh. So
see, I didn't even know that.
I pulled up my phone. I'm looking like, damn, I'm shooting good. I was like in 30th place going into my last three arrows on the first day. I'm like, man, I'm shooting really good. Going into the last three arrows, I dropped four.
Yeah.
And that was silly because I started thinking about my score. I'm like, oh man, I'm shooting really good. Like getting ahead of myself instead of being focused on one arrow at a time. Don't think about your score. Just worry about that one shot. Then do the same thing for the next shot. Like one arrow, at a time. And that's kind of what I did for the, after that, for the rest of the week, which, I mean, my first round was my worst score. But I should have been my best score if it wasn't for those last three arrows. So,
yeah, I think I told you I had a little bit of the opposite effect. I did not keep score at all. Didn't even look at it. Had no clue. My problem was as soon as I started to drop some points, my give a damn broke. my give a damn broke completely. And then I was just shooting. I was literally just shooting arrows. Like, I just was like, you know, yeah, I'm a little long in the draw. I'm not feeling that steady, but, you know, we're going to just kind of squeak this one out and hope it lands middle. And hope is never a strategy that you should have. Hoping that you hit your spot that you're intending to hit is never a good strategy. I can say that. So that's like ultimately kind of happened is like, I would start out really well and then my give a damn would break and I would just give less of a shit as I went on.
Just slinging them.
Yeah. Which bit me in the butt. I mean, I ended up way low in the flights. I ended way down, but had I just given a damn through a lot of those shots, I should have won my flight. Like, there's really no reason that I shouldn't have won my flight. I mean, I was like, I think I ended up fourth or fifth in my flight and I won $65, but the difference between that and the first place position was like literally a couple arrows.
Oh yeah. I mean, and that's what I started like looking back now, like it's the smallest things mm-hmm. like from each game. Like if I was looking back at my three games, like if I wouldn't have shot one bad arrow in each one of those games,
yeah,
like I would have done a ton better, like in the rankings. Like right. It's just one small thing in each game that you could have changed, like helps you a ton in the overall mm-hmm. rankings and like placing in your flights and stuff like that.
Yeah. Did you feel differently going into your second day over your first?
I was my most nervous day was the second day.
Gotcha.
Because I was pissed off at my first day because I knew I could shoot a lot better mm-hmm. and I knew I had like ground to make up to like get to where I wanted to be, like in score and rankings and like how I did overall. So I think I then put a lot more pressure on myself and I shot terrible. The first five ends, I shot terrible. I dropped six in the first five ends, which was setting me up for a real bad game. I'm like, I was nervous about that. And then I started getting real nervous. And then I kind of, the last five ends, I got in a groove and shot clean for the last five. But those last three arrows, my back half of that second game, I had to let down twice because I was so nervous. Because I wanted to, like, because I knew, you know, my score was going to be, you know, mm-hmm. 294 if I shot clean in the back half, which is like where I wanted to be.
Yep.
So it's just putting more pressure on myself than I needed. And that's what it seemed to like be most of the time. Like I felt when I felt pressure or anxiety, it's just like self-imposed of me like overthinking it, like mm-hmm. making it like this out to be this big thing instead of just kind of relaxing and shooting. But
right.
Yeah. It was that second day. I was the most nervous by far just because I knew I wanted to shoot a lot better and like make up a bunch of ground from that first day.
Yep. But, yep. My first day, I ended up, I shot pretty poorly, like really rough. I mean, I was not happy at all. I walked out of there pissed off. In fact, I walked back to my truck and I probably just sat in the parking garage in my truck for an hour, just like beating the shit out of myself. Like I was so mad. I was just like disappointed. Like my expectations for what this thing was going to be were like way let down. Like I was just super disappointed based on how I felt like I'd been shooting at home. Like I was upset with my bad shots. Like I was just really just bummed out. And then, which is not good. You got to let go of it.
You know what it reminded me of? Like when you shot bad or even like the thing I thought of like after my first game, after I shot bad was, it reminds me of like that one shot when you have on an animal that's like terrible. Like you completely miss it. Like it just eats you up. Like you can't stop thinking about it. Like why? Why? Mm-hmm. Why did that happen? That's how I felt after the first day. Like how?
Yeah.
Why did I do that? Like couldn't stop thinking about it.
Yep. Yeah. I got some food that night. I went to bed. I decided the next morning I was going to get up and I was going to run to the office. And I thought, you know, I'm going to shoot a few games in the office in the morning. And I think I texted you that morning and I was like, I think I'm going to shoot my hunting bow today. And I brought both bows just for fun. And the reason I made the decision was because I thought my good shots were really good with my target bow and they aimed really well. But like when I made a bad shot, and it's, I would say for the most part, it's in my execution of my release. Like if my release doesn't break clean, like I make a mistake and I just don't shoot good, even though I was aiming pretty decent. But my bad shots, I felt like with my target bow were really bad. You know, and I was like, I feel like maybe with my hunting bow, a bit more familiarity with it. You know, it's like 72 pounds. So it's a lot more draw weight. It's more holding weight. So I thought I'm going to try the hunting bow. So I set the hunting bow up. I didn't even, I just pulled some weights off my back bar, moved into the front bar. I'd never shot with this. So I just put six or seven on the front bar, on a 10 inch front bar. I went into the warehouse and sighted it in, and I shot that morning, and I shot three games that morning. And I think I ended up shooting like a 291 and like a 288 and a 287, which was better than what I'd shot the day before. So I was like, oh, I'm shooting pretty good, aiming pretty well. I'm going to run with that. And that was probably a bad idea thinking back on it.
You wouldn't have switched both?
I don't know. It's hard to say. Cause here's the thing. I've gone back and I've looked at all my scores, and, my first arrow, I shot really well. Like my first arrow out of the bows were really, even my first and second arrows were really good out of the bow. But I think maybe having not shot my hunting bow at 70 some pounds, 72 pounds for a long time, I think when I got into that third arrow, I just struggled to be strong enough to be right, super consistent with it. So I think I was telling you yesterday, I think through my first and second ends on my last day, total, I think I dropped 5 points. And then I think I dropped like 16 or 17 with just 10 arrows on my third end.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The third end was always, it's either my second or third. First one, always best one.
Yep.
Second and third is either one or the other. Like one game, it was my second shot that was always terrible. And my third shot was always pretty decent. Or it's vice versa on another game. But yeah, my first shot was always usually my best shot.
Mine too. Yeah. Mine. Yeah. I shot really, really well with my first arrow each end, which I think there's something in that, right?
It has to be.
Yeah. I think it's, you're a little bit fresher for one. You like, you've kind of recouped. Two, I think your focus is always the strongest probably on that first arrow.
Right.
Yeah. Don't you think?
I would say that. Yeah. And I don't know. It almost feels like the pressure balance as you start thinking, you're like, first one, all right. And then you start getting this, and you still almost start to like build up your pressure a little bit more. Like, oh, second shot.
Yeah.
Oh God, here comes the third shot. I want to fit. Cause it's either like, I want to finish strong on my third shot, or it's like, I have to have a good shot because my last shot was bad. You know, you're like trying to make up ground or finish strong.
Yeah. I went back and looked through a bunch of people's scores, like in the championship division unlimited, anybody that dropped X's, almost everybody dropped them on the third end.
Yeah.
Which I think which is interesting. So it's like kind of identifying these things like, okay, yeah, that's an issue. Like that's where people, myself included, that's where people are dropping points is on the third end. How do you alleviate that?
Right.
And I don't know that I have a strategy, but I'm thinking about it.
The one thing I was thinking, maybe like taking more time in between shots.
Yep.
Like just slowing down, breathing, looking around. I mean, you have plenty of time. Mm-hmm. So you get 2 minutes. So you have plenty of time, but yeah, just maybe slowing down a little bit and taking time and like really thinking about what you need to do and execute your shot kind of thing is the one thing that I was thinking maybe might help.
Yeah. I mean, I almost always finished with like 30 seconds, 20, 30 seconds on the clock at least. And I was going pretty slow. Like there were people both sides of me that were getting three arrows off way sooner than me. The very last day that I shot, the kid that was shooting right behind me, he was always waiting for me for pretty much like a whole arrow to like, before he could step off the line, like he'd already shot his three arrows.
That's another thing I hate. I hate when people sit, walk away. I feel like they're staring.
I prefer it actually. No. So the first 2 days, the kid would either walk off the line. The last day, the guy behind me, he would stay in it, and I shot better arrows. I felt like just because he stayed in it, like I felt calmer because he was like right there.
I didn't because I knew they were done shooting. And I felt like they were looking at me. I could feel them like waiting for me to shoot, like waiting for me. Like yeah. I could feel that from them. So I don't like that etiquette part.
Right.
Of it. Like I'd rather just have you get off the line, just get out of there.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I preferred that they stayed. So I guess I should talk about, so my second day, I shot my hunting bow, shooting fairly decent. Like I said, first and second ends, I was shooting quite well actually. And then, I think my third end, I can't remember what end it was, but, I remember I had Kyle Douglas's mom and dad and then Kyle in the shop on, Thursday, I think. Evening, and I was talking to Kyle's dad, and he just said, you know, hey, remember to let down, right? Like, so if you're getting into long into it and it's just not settling, you're starting to shake, like, just remember, like, hey, let down. It's a hard thing to do, but like, just remember to let down. So one of my third ends, I'm just like long in the draw, I'm shaking all over, I'm like not even close to the yellow, I'm bouncing all over everywhere, and I'm like, I make the conscious decision, like, yep, I need to let down, right? So I'm shooting a Trueball Executive with a click in it. It's set it's kind of medium, I would say, as far as tension on it, you know, to make it go off. And I'm like, yep, make the decision to let down. And I just like lost focus for a little second. And I like went to let down and I didn't put enough tension on my index finger to like keep that angle tight enough that it wouldn't fire. And as I started to let down, like I just probably got like just past the point of my chin and that thing just ripped. And I shot an arrow into the butt closest to me to the left, just absolutely ripped one into that butt. And I was like, what? I was so pissed.
Yeah. That one big, sucks.
Big fat zero for that one.
Yeah. That one's a rough. I have like the letdown thing. I definitely think I should let down more. Mm-hmm. That's like one takeaway that I took out. It's like, there was definitely some times where like, I knew I was way too long in the shot, shaking, like wish I would have let down. But then at the same time, the times that I did let down, since I'd never practiced that.
Yep.
Like never done that in practice, like let down. First time I ever let down on a Vegas face was in Vegas.
Right.
And that after that, I was nervous as hell. I felt rushed. Like, oh my God, I have to go. Like once I let down, I'm like, all right, get back in here, pull back, shoot. Like your time's going to run out.
Yeah.
So like, I think it is a good thing to let down, but I also think.
You got to practice it.
I need to practice that and like figure out, let down, regroup, go back through my shot process, what I'm going to do and draw back again. But yeah, I think there's like a double-edged sword with me on letting down.
For sure. Yeah. And it did two things to me. One, that one, you know, it scared me. Like I was like, oh, and an immediate spike of adrenaline through my whole entire body, like just wound up tighter than a spring coil. I mean, just wound up. My next two arrows after that happened, like I could have pulled the cams off that bow. Like I was pulling so hard into the bow and just so ramped up with adrenaline that I shot out the top, like no problem, like healed it out. Like, I think I shot 2.8s immediately after that arrow, just cause I was pulling so hard into it. Cause I was like, I can't have that happen. So that was a bummer. And then the third day there were many arrows, my third ends for sure, that I should have let down because I was like 30, 40 seconds into a single hold. And I was shaking all over, but I was just so anxious that I was going to rip one off again. Like, I'm like thinking, I don't know how to let down right now.
Right.
You know? So yeah. I just pulled through and then made bad shots. You know, I had some dip bangs that were just atrocious, just absolutely disgusting, you know, because of that. And yeah, you got to practice it, right?
Definitely something I took away was like, letdowns are good. But mm-hmm. I need to practice them. I need to understand what I'm doing, how to regroup, and like, mm-hmm. I guess also too, like knowing when to let down and.
Yep.
Because I mean, you can kind of feel it, like, especially getting long, getting like super shaky. Just let down, relax, regroup.
Yeah.
Shoot another one.
I think that decision to let down is probably like 10 to 15 seconds sooner than when I was making the decision. Do you know what I mean? Like I needed to make the decision quicker, and I needed to practice it for sure.
Right. On during like, so you do swaps of the target, right?
Yep.
After your five ends. So after five ends, you shoot, and then you're either on the lower or upper, and you switch targets. Did you change to a new target, or would you always keep your original one?
I changed to a new one because my scores were so poor. Like, I had so many crappy holes that I didn't want to look at them. So I changed out. In saying that, so bottom target shoots first, and then after five ends, you switch your target to the top end. That was also something like I had never practiced. Like, I'd never practiced shooting at any other height than the height that I can fit in my garage, which is like second shelf. That's where I can fit a target on some shelving in my garage. So I never practiced shooting upper or lower, and I found it extremely hard to aim at the upper on my second, like back half of that first day, for sure. I was like, oh, this is different. This feels different for sure. So something to practice.
I didn't know you could get a new target face halfway through.
Oh, you did?
Like, I didn't know that was a thing. Like, I always thought you just had to shoot the same target mm-hmm. over and over. So now I was like caught like, oh man, do I want a clean face or do I want a, yeah. I always did it. Like, if I was shooting terrible, I would just get a clean one. If I was shooting all right, I would just keep the same one that I had. But
yeah, I think if you had a nice hollowed out hole there in the middle of the 10 ring, I think I'd probably stay with it. But since I never did, I just thought I'm going to switch them out.
Swap. That's what. So on my second game, when I dropped six, I was shooting terrible. I felt like, all right, this paper is just bad luck. I'm shooting terrible.
Yeah.
Went to a fresh one and I shot clean for the back half. So
yeah, that was impressive. I mean, to shoot clean for five ends.
Yeah, I think that was the most clean five of like I've ever done.
Yeah, in a row.
In a row. Yeah, five ends in a row, which really, really saved my score. I thought I was going to have a terrible game on that second day, but we pulled one out.
No, I think that's a testament to like your ability to focus, right? Like you went into it kind of shooting, maybe not to what your expectations of what you thought you would on the back half or the first half. And I think, I mean, it was really cool that you had the ability to like lock in and be like, okay, I'm going to do this damn thing. Like, I'm going to really focus and lock in. And like, I think it's incredible that you did. I think it's super cool.
Yeah. I think too, it helped like build your confidence. Like, mm-hmm. like, you know, you can make these shots. Like it can be done if you focus, if you're concentrate, mm-hmm. you know, like you can do it.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's just like, goes back to like my biggest thing. My biggest takeaway is just like shot process and like your mental mm-hmm. focus of like what you're doing every single shot, like staying the exact same, thinking the exact same things. That's like the hardest part.
Yeah. I felt like in practicing at home, I didn't really have a conscious, focused shot process.
No.
I would have the TV on usually in the background or podcast playing in my pocket. And I would just do like I normally do when I'm shooting up at the range. It's just me and the dog, getting my grip. I'd come to full draw. I'd aim and just kind of execute. But as soon as I got into that environment, I was like, oh, this is really distracting. I'm having a really hard time focusing. And then I started thinking like, okay, stance, grip, you know, come to click, pull, you know, and executing mm-hmm. a shot. But really, that's the first time I've ever consciously really focused and tried hard to execute a shot process.
Right.
Which
yeah, no, I was the same way. Like after my first day, I was just shooting willy nilly, like how I normally would at practice.
Yep.
And I shot my worst score, dropped four in my last three arrows. And it's like, after that, it's like, all right, I need to have something that I'm telling myself every single arrow that's the exact same mm-hmm. that gets me through these progressions of my shot process. So like helps me stay focused, helps me, you know, zero in on what I'm trying to do. Cause if you don't have that,
yeah,
you're bound to have one that just does something you don't want it to do.
Yeah.
Something
at least
multiple. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. At least. So I guess my take homes, one, it was really humbling. I was disappointed, but it also, I felt like it did the things that I wanted it to do. So I wanted to feel uncomfortable I was wildly uncomfortable. I wanted to find out where the holes in my process and my shooting are, which I certainly did find those. I learned a lot, not necessarily just about indoor archery, but also just about myself in general. I learned that I'm not ever going to get any better if I don't track my shooting. I don't keep score. I don't make it mean something. Like if it's not important enough to even track and mean something, I'm not ever going to get any better because it just doesn't matter. Just doesn't, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm not tracking it. The other thing is like being in an environment with a lot of people that are shooting and being able to look at scores and look at other people's abilities and track it, like where are they at? Where am I at? It gives you like a measuring stick to see like where you kind of are in the process and how you can improve, and then kind of set goals for like, okay, how can I get better? You know, how can I do better? So for me, those are all take homes. I learned that I'm a pretty good shot with my first arrow, which is good.
Hey, only takes one, right?
It only takes one. Yeah, exactly. When you're hunting, I mean, that was like, I drove home thinking about it, and you're trying to find, I'm not trying to be like completely negative the whole way and just like completely beat my own, you know, beat myself up the entire way home. So I'm trying to like find the silver linings in it. And like, I can genuinely pretty confidently say like my first arrows were really good arrows, you know? So if that translates to a hunting environment, you know, I feel pretty good about that. You know, I feel like my first arrow is a good arrow, and I feel that's good on an animal. But if I want to play this game and I want to get better as a whole, like I got to figure the rest of this thing out.
Do you feel like you identified like how you shoot and like things that you could do?
Oh, for sure.
To help you shoot better for the way that you shoot?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I remember when we had Kyle Douglas on the podcast a couple of years ago, I guess, up at the Hunt Expo. I remember his dad talking to me after the fact, and he's like, I've seen Kyle shoot 330X games at the shop, and I've watched him walk into the bow shop and completely tear the whole bow apart and rebuild it after he's just shot a 30X game. And he's asked him like, why are you doing that? Like, you just shot a perfect game. And he said, you know, this bow isn't set up. It's not holding the way that it should, that I want it to, when the pressure's like at the highest. And I thought a lot about that on the way home, and I got my bow out the way I had it set up, and I went out and I shot some arrows, and I was like, yeah, I can definitely feel like there's probably some things I could do to tinker with to get this thing to hold and shoot better when I feel more amped up and more pressured. So I already did. So last night, tore my bow apart immediately. I pulled the mods out. So I pulled the 30-inch mods that I had on the bow. I put 30.5-inch mods because I did feel like when I was there on the line and I would start feeling a lot of stress and pressure, I would feel myself like starting to collapse a little bit. And I felt like it would be a little bit more forgiving if I had some more draw length. I felt like I could pull more into that. And I felt like my aim would be like a little bit more slower, the float, instead of being like so rapid and jerky. And so, I put a 1/2-inch in draw length on. I took a couple of twists out of my cables, and I ended up landing kind of like halfway between where I was and then the new mod. The other thing I did is I bought a grip, these DL design grips from Tim Gillingham. Mm-hmm. And I talked to him about, you know, what do you like in a grip and why? And he said, you know, I really like the wide, flat backed grip of this design that I've got. And he's got two different sizes. He has kind of a narrower one and he has a wide one. And when I talked to him at the show, he was like, I really like the width of this one. He's like, you know, how big is your hand? And kind of looked at it and he's like, yeah, I think you'd probably like the wider, better, just like more flat, wide surface arrow to kind of like let that thing sit in your palm. And he also likes a little bit of angle in that. And so I got that grip out and replaced it last night on my bow. And I had enough time last night because of daylight savings time, right, that it doesn't get dark till later. So I ran up to my local range and like, and again, like this is, it might be a band-aid, you know, it's like maybe new bow, new syndrome, right? Because I've shot long enough to know this is the case. But like, I would say pretty quickly, I was a lot more comfortable. Shots were breaking cleaner. I felt like I was aiming a whole lot better. I felt like it just, the pin wanted to sit a whole lot better than it did over the weekend. And I just think looking forward, I need to set up a bow, not that, that just shoots well for like one arrow, but I need a bow that's like forgiving when I need to get like three arrows out of it. I need some solid aiming ends in my third ends.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like the one thing I always kind of knew this about me and how I shoot is the more movement I see, the more anxious I get, which then goes into my release taking longer to go off because I'm over aiming.
Yeah.
And that's why, like my hunting setup, I'll shoot a 3/16 peep because I don't see as much movement. That relaxes me. Like it's easier for me to break a shot off on time every time. Mm-hmm. If it's a little bit of a blur, a little bit less movement. And like on the third day in Vegas when I was shooting, the first half I shot pretty decent, but like I was getting super long in my shot. Like my release wasn't breaking, which usually for me, I know is like, I'm over aiming. Like, I could see my pin really good. I'm over aiming. And I completely just turned off my sight light and I shot better.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
and that's just like, cause I don't see the movement as much. Mm-hmm. And that like helps me relax and like execute a shot on time, the same time, you know, over and over. So yeah, just like knowing how you shoot and like what makes you comfortable. You know, like with the peep height, mm-hmm. you know, just like moving it down, moving it up to where you're going to be. Like for me, I know when I get tense and when I get pressure, I duck my head in. Like I fall out.
So I do the opposite. Yeah. I start to fall out of my peep.
Yeah. Like me, I'm always, when I get like tense, I go into my peep, like I duck into it. So like having my peep a little bit lower is usually like more beneficial for like my style of shooting.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's like, what I like about target archery is it's easier to identify your style of shooting, like what works better for you because you're shooting at a face 30 times. You can see the arrows, you can see your pin. Like it's easier for you to identify all these different types of things.
It's easier to dig into the details. It's easier to find the holes in your game because the repetition of it is just, it's so repetitive and you're trying to hit a ping pong ball at 20 yards and you're trying to just repeat that over and over. And then you put a little pressure on yourself, like at a shoot, like in Vegas, and you really start to like identify the holes in your game. That's what I noticed is like, okay, I can definitely see where I need to improve. I mean, I remember the third day I shot, my first arrow was just dead nuts, like inside out X, right? Like down the middle, down the pipe. And the guy immediately behind me to the left said to me like, oh, great follow through, like good follow through. And follow through is probably not something I have thought about in ages. You know what I mean? Like I really have not, I can't remember the last time that like I went to the range or I shot here in my kitchen and I just worked on follow through. Like I just thought consciously about follow through. And mm-hmm. I mean, as he said that, I thought, oh, okay, good. You know, good follow through on that one arrow. But then I'm thinking like, how consistent is my follow through from arrow to arrow? I don't know.
Right.
Hard to say. I haven't thought about it.
Yeah. It's like, it's all the fundamentals. Mm-hmm. Having strong fundamentals that you can repeat over and over.
Yeah.
Like that's what's going to help you in shooting a good score on a Vegas face.
Yeah. I know
which a lot of the times, like with your hunting bow set up and you're shooting here and there, like you don't really think about that stuff too much.
No.
Because like, if I shoot a 3D target, if it's in the lungs, that's a good shot to me.
Sure.
You know, you're happy with it, even though you might've missed from where you're aiming by 2 or 3 inches.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. It is interesting how much easier it is to aim at a 3D target.
Oh yeah.
It's so much easier when you're not hovering over a spot the size of a ping pong ball, which I mean, if you got real serious into target 3D archery, I mean, you're probably looking through your binoculars and you're trying to pick out a 12 ring or a 14 ring. And at that point, it's probably, you know, the same game because you're trying to aim at an individual arrow hole or a spot or something like in the target. But like, if I go up to my local 3D range up here and I'm just trying to hit center 10, man, it's so much easier to let your pin float over vitals, just like center 10 and just like execute a shot. It's so much easier than it is to shoot a Vegas face.
Yeah. I'm ready to go back.
Are you?
Oh yeah. I mean, I do. A lot of things I took away too, is just like how I'm setting up my bow.
Yep.
You know, just digging in, doing all the different research and watching how people are setting up their bow. Different from how I've always been setting my bow, and mm-hmm. I've been doing it for a long time, and you've always had this way of setting up your bow. It's like there's some aspects of like that I'm going to take into setting up my hunting bow to help make it be more forgiving, mm-hmm. which comes from shooting in target archery and trying to be as precise as possible. I mean, some of it, not all of it I'm going to do, and not all of it's like applicable to like a hunting bow, but like definitely when I set up my D-loop, I'm going to move that thing up and down the string until I find where it holds the best. I am definitely going to torque tune every hunting bow that I shoot from now on.
Yeah.
Just to make it as most forgiving as possible. Like those were things I was never doing before.
Yeah. You probably put a lot more attention into the height of your peep, right?
Right. Yeah. And, focusing on when you put your peep, mm-hmm. shoot that thing for a couple weeks before you like tie it in. There's definitely the best spot optimal for the most accuracy when it comes to like your peep height, like stuff like that.
Sure.
You wouldn't think about it if you have a hunting bow or just shooting a hunting bow. And that's like, and for me, all I care about is like, I want to be the most accurate on hunts. Like that's my objective. And I know like by shooting Vegas faces, by doing target archery in the winter, that's going to help me be a better bow hunter, more accurate and hopefully more successful. So that's like the main reason why I like shooting. Well, and I just like shooting, like hitting middle. I mean, there's no better feeling than that.
Yeah, it is. And then, you know, I've hit a couple animals in the last year, 2 years, I guess, that I didn't find. And that's really what like the kind of the reason behind this for me was I was just like, okay, I just need to be better. Like I got to figure out a way to be better. I got to find a way to have a more forgiving bow. I got to put more time and effort into it. I've got to figure out how to handle pressure better. I've got to be more detail oriented in the moment. And I think the best way to do that is to do something like this, where you really highlight it. You find out where the holes in your game are and then try to improve upon it. And then, if I go out hunting this year and I think I've already got, you know, I'll probably have 3 different elk tags. We're going to New Zealand in May. I've got a lot of hunts on the book. We'll probably go antelope hunting. At the end of that, you know, if I get a couple bull elk and, you know, an antelope and maybe a tar and I make 5 perfect shots and I find a quick recovery, like all of it will have been worth it. Right. Even though I didn't necessarily, like, if I'm being completely honest, like I didn't necessarily enjoy myself this weekend. Like it was not type one fun for me. Like, I mean, my expectations were, and that's one thing too, is like, you know, your expectations are here and then reality is here. Like there's a lot of good things in that, but it doesn't feel good, you know, like on the backside of it, it does light a fire under my butt. I know that.
Oh yeah.
You know, sure. definitely lit a fun fire under my butt.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll make you want to shoot better. That's for sure.
Yeah. Make you want to be better, which is the point of it.
And the thing is too, is like, you know, you can shoot better.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, you can shoot better.
Yeah. So I mean, if I can drop one point in my first end of a whole, you know, a whole game, or I'd have to go back and look, but I don't know how many points I actually dropped on my first end for the whole weekend, but it wasn't that many. But if I can do that, if I can drop one point on my first end, there's absolutely no reason that I can't pick up all those points in my second and third end.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I was looking back. I had an 8. I had 2 8s and 1 7 in each game. Mm-hmm. So like, if I could just like, don't shoot an 8, don't shoot a 7, just don't have it, like 9s and 10s.
Yeah.
And that would help a ton.
Yeah. I mean, I shot some 7s. I shot a 6, my third end of the last game. And it was a complete dip bang. It was like a 40 second hold. And I'm like, absolutely diving. I am diving out the bottom.
Let down.
Yeah, and dip bang. And I'm telling you what, I was at a point where I was like, oh man, please be a 6, please, because it was like outer darkness, like it was out there.
Oh yeah.
It was rough. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one thing that, like, those eights and sevens, I still can think of, like, God, what the hell?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Just pisses you off, which is good, though, because it makes you want to go shoot more. Once it makes you want to be more accurate.
Yeah, makes you want to do the work.
It's definitely, like, we all can be better shooters.
For sure. No doubt. So, yeah. Well, you had a great weekend. I will say that Neville shot above expectation, I would say. Like, you know, for really diving into it just a few months ago, I was really blown away. I thought you did awesome. And it was really fun to catch up with you and watch you shoot. It was fun that last day we had different flights. So I got to sit with your wife and sit and watch uh-huh. you shoot. Your wife was – Abby was – she was nervous. She was like, oh, I'm so nervous.
She wants me to win that money.
Is that what it is?
Oh yeah, for sure. Get that money.
I did win $65, so
I hope that. Do you just get that in the mail?
Yeah, they just send it in a check. You were kind of joking, say you were hoping they would send one of those big giant checks.
Yeah, I want a giant check, please. Send it back to him. Say not big enough.
Bigger. I thought, man, as poorly as I shot, based on my expectations, I thought maybe I won't even cash it, and I'll just like frame it and put it on my wall.
Yeah. And that's the one other thing to mention too, for how many people did you talk to that this was their first time shooting?
A lot. Tons.
Everyone standing around were like, this is your first time shooting? I'm like, yeah. They're like, yeah, this is my first time shooting it too.
Tons.
So, I mean, it's a good sign for archery, but it also goes to show like bow hunter flights, like anyone can shoot it. They're going to break you down into these flights and you have a chance to win money no matter how good or bad you shoot. Like, mm-hmm. You're still kind of in it. It's a competition. You still have a chance to win money.
Yeah. I thought about this on the way home. You know, we did some content around it. Obviously me shooting, get ready for it. Omar, you know, he showed up and filmed some stuff and we did a little portion of it in the off season, but like, I don't know if like it was ever really like a goal for me per se. Like it wasn't something I was thinking about, but it was since I got home. It was like, I really want, since I have a little bit of a platform, like I really do want to grow archery. So, I mean, I think everybody should do it. I had a guy that messaged me yesterday and he goes, I don't shoot good enough to like show up and do something like that. And I'm just like, I don't really care. I told him, I'm like, I don't care what level you're on right now. It would be a good thing for you to show up and do it.
Oh yeah.
Like regardless.
The hardest thing when it comes for bow hunting is shooting under pressure.
And yep.
The only way you can get that is through experience out on a hunt, which is also hard to get into that situation where you're at full draw on an animal, which doesn't happen all the time. So the next best thing to do is go shoot a competition like the Vegas shoot. Like that's going to be the closest thing to the type of pressure that you're going to feel at full draw.
Yep.
Than anything.
Yep. So I think they had 4,400, I think just over 4,400 shooters. I did see somewhere that it was like a record high for the Vegas shoot. Most shooters, mm-hmm. it's grown the last 2 years. The last 2 years have been record breaking for them. And let's just get more people. Let's get 5,000.
Yeah. Isn't more people, more money to win, right?
More money to win, more people being getting better, doing better, better shots in the field on animals. So yeah, with my little platform that I've got, I mean, I'm just encouraging people. I don't care if you're the best of the best. I don't care if you're the worst of the worst. Like, still show up and do it. Like, there's a lot to be learned from doing something like that.
Even just shooting target faces with your bow, your hunting bow. Like, that's going to help you a lot to become a better bow hunter by far.
And track it.
Yeah. That's going to do a ton. Even if you don't do a competition, maybe just go to a league. Like, that's going to help you a ton.
Yep. I agree. Anything else that you think translate into bow hunting before I cut you off?
I think that's about it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look at my notes, see if I basically talked about everything.
Yeah. Well, congrats. You shot great. Even though you outshot me by a lot, I still came home with the money.
See, that's what's great about this. I came home with nothing.
Yeah.
I did notice my X count is way lower than, not way lower, but it's definitely towards the lower end on like compared to like the rest of my flight, like by like 10.
Yeah, interesting.
So like, yeah. I can usually shoot a decent score, but like hitting middle, not as much as like the rest of these guys. I think I had 31 X's, like in my flight. That's like at the bottom end. Like the guy who won my flight, he had 42 X's throughout the whole week.
Gotcha.
But I don't know what that means.
Room for improvement.
That's right.
That's it. Well, thanks for jumping on with me and recapping. You're selling a lot of merch. Hit people with the merch.
Big Hunting Guy merch. Head over. We just released Big Archer Guy.
Which is a dope design. I like it.
New design. We got all sorts of stuff. Big Elk Guy, Big Mule Deer Guy. Coming out with new designs like every month. So, yeah. Big Hunting Guy merch. That's where you can get the good stuff.
And then they can find it on Instagram, and then they can also find you on Instagram, right?
That's right.
Right on. Well, thanks for doing it. I'm going to jump off before I pee my pants, and I will catch up with you later. We always keep in touch. So keep shooting arrows, and you and I are going to go slay some bulls in Arizona this winter.
That's the goal.
Okay, man. Have a good day.
All right. Later, buddy.
Thanks. Bye.